be live.
Hello, captive friends, and welcome to GCP Live at Seeker 2024. This is the third year in a row that we've done this now, and really thankful to Dan and Seeker for letting us do this. It's the only place we do it regularly, doing a live podcast. We release about 50 episodes a year, and so it's great to actually try and do it live. And hopefully, as Dan said, kind of end on a bit of a fun note, have a bit of fun. In terms of those who maybe haven't sat in on the GCP Live in the past, we're going to try and have a bit of fun. We've got some kind of personal questions for our two sets of panelists. We've got seven guests. We've got three on now. We're going to have four in the second half. Some semi-serious questions as well. And then a bit of captive trivia, the return of captive domiciles higher or lower. And this panel will try and get a good run. And then the second panel will see if they can beat it. So on our first panel, we've got three guests, all new to GCP Live, but all have been on GCP in the past in various guises. So we first have Claire Richardson from Highland. Welcome, Claire. We've got TJ Scherer from Spring Consulting, and we've got Melissa Hollingsworth from Atlanta Housing. And Melissa, I'm gonna start, my first question is gonna be to you. So Melissa, first question for everyone is gonna be, can you tell us something interesting or maybe funny about yourself that maybe people in this room who do know you wouldn't necessarily already know?
Interesting. So I think everybody knows, everybody that knows me knows that I love to travel. And every single time I come to these conferences, I'm tacking on some things and trying to find the next great place to go. So I try to, curate my experiences when I, go to these different places. And just travel and captives are the two things that make me go. I just absolutely love those two things, and it makes me who I am.
Fantastic. Okay, TJ. So one of your colleagues, Prabal, was on this the first GCP Live 2 years ago, and I think Prabal said to me last night that he can't go to a single conference or event without someone reminding him of his embarrassing story with another colleague of yours, Peter Johnson. So I don't know if you can top that story. He would love you to top that story. If you haven't heard that, go back to GCP Live 2022 and you can take the mickey out of Prabal at a later date. But TJ, is something interesting or funny about yourself that maybe people don't know?
Well, I have to come up with something because I was going to use that same story, but just put my name instead of Prabal's. So now I have to come up with something different. I wrote down a few things. I'll go actually with the travel story. And I planned a trip for our whole family. We were going to New York and then going up to Canada. Really excited about it. Made it to New York, went to the airport, check in for our flight. I was the first one there, gave my passport. Sir, this expired 3 months ago. So we then pivoted and went to Chicago on the next flight to stay in the US. So don't count on me for international travel is the interesting lesson.
Great. Cheers. Claire, same question.
Sure. So I played softball for 13 years of my life. So a ton of teamwork, ton of camaraderie, a lot of team bonding. One day I was practicing in high school. I was a second baseman for a little while. So I was practicing throws down to second. My shortstop was newer in at the school. We didn't really know her too well yet. Didn't know her skill set. But I was confident in her abilities, and a little too confident because I took a ball straight to the nose. So obviously keep an eye out when you're playing sports. But that was unironically about 3 days before my 18th birthday. So that was fantastic, but still cherish the team.
Good shiner then. Did you have a nice, it looked good?
Oh yeah, two black eyes, a whole nine yards. Oh. It was beautiful.
So Claire, you can keep the microphone because I'm gonna come to you to the next question. So our next question is gonna be, and this is pretty broad. It could go in one of numerous ways, I expect. If you could change one thing, we all love the captive industry, but if you could change one thing about the captive market, the captive industry overnight, what would it be and why?
Oh, there's a lot of options there. I think one thing that would be super impactful to me in my current role and a lot of my peers would be the education to the greater community. So individuals that are investigating a captive, already having a little bit of knowledge or really servicing the industry from a higher standpoint. So more education in schools, more education in a university setting, more in education even in a high school setting. So there's a lot of risk management programs that are outreaching to, from a college standpoint, outreaching to high schools, continuing down that path. I think significant growth has happened in the last 5-10 years in the captive space in terms of the ability of individuals to be educated, and IC has done a fantastic job. A conference has a bunch of different conferences have done fantastic jobs with kind of furthering education there, but overnight that would be fantastic.
Yes. Fantastic. And Melissa next, how about you?
Anyone who knows me knows that I would say diversity. I would like to see diversity more across the entire space. You know, when I came into this industry almost 25 years ago, and still sometimes I'm the only person of color or the only woman in the room, and, you know, I belong in any room I walk into, you know, but I also want to see people that look like me, and I just want to see that collaboration, you know, that thought, you know, that just all of it just makes the difference. And so I speak about it a lot just because of my personal experience and some of the things that I've gone through that I don't want the ones coming behind me to have to go through, you know, because it's really, it can be really uncomfortable situations and things that happen that you just have to keep, you just have to keep pushing and going and going. So I talk about diversity a lot and I try to lead with it in pretty much everything that I do in this industry.
Fantastic. TJ, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think of the alignment, looking at domiciles and Congress and the IRS and the acts that are out there, and if there could just be somebody that just took all of those and said, these are the rules. I know there was the tax sessions earlier, and somebody outside said, where do they come up with 65%? Exactly. You know, they're just arbitrarily making things up. And then if you try and follow that guidance, maybe it's wrong for somebody else, or it doesn't meet risk transfer here, but it does for this. So I think if there was a way to just everybody kind of getting on the same page to make more standardization, guidance, not telling everybody what's wrong, but telling how to do things right. The little side note is, you know, I live in California and I'm still baffled they don't have a captive law, and that there's so much money there. So I think just even the states that could do it. Now, I know everybody's saying don't have California regulate anything, which I also agree with. So I'm not necessarily a proponent of that, but it would just be nice to have even, you know, making an easier decision for a home state with such a large state.
Fantastic. And TJ, again, you can keep holding the microphone. So final question to this panel before we get into some trivia. What do you expect to be the big disruptor or innovation affecting captive insurance in the next, say, 5 years?
Right, so I was gonna, you know, touch on AI, but Prabal told me, so I didn't even have to think. He told me it's defined benefits.
Okay, so of that's course. Of course Prabal told you about benefits.
Yeah,
He tells everyone about benefits. Yeah, we're bored of it. No, we're not ready.
Aside from that, I do think that technology and the way the next generation's going to try to implement that will be a tell. Is it going to try and be very automated, or is, you know, the older generations that are wanting to be face-to-face and the buyer is still wanting that, or is it, you know, the hippo, the lemonade model, where it's moving up to the corporate model, where they're just saying, just quote me, and there isn't relationships, there's not carrier broker, it is just moving, spreadsheeting, and everything in front of a computer. So I think that'll be just really interesting on which way that heads.
Right, Claire, same question. Biggest innovation or disruptor we can maybe look forward to over the next 5 years?
I think you read off my sheet, actually, TJ. I think we can work on that. No, I think so. From my experience here at Zika, and specifically today attending the Next Gen and Amplify Women joint luncheon, the conversations that my group had and a variety of the other groups there had, it's honestly really apparent that the next generation of leaders are going to bring a, you know, inherent level of innovation to the industry that's going to be absolutely disruptive to the maybe old ways or stuck ways of the industry previously. So I'm really interested to see how the next few years will go, as well as the absolutely fabulous foundation that the individuals in this room and outside of the room have built for the next generation of leaders as well. So very interested to see how the innovation plays in the next few years.
Fantastic. Melissa?
AI. I mean, you know, it's the next big thing. It's going to be, you know, $1 trillion market one day. And it's just, how is it going to impact our lives? How can we work with it to make our, you know, jobs easier, better, more efficient, all of that? You know, what can we do? How can we harness this tool to make us better professionals? You know, and I'm really interested to see how that's all going to pan out, you know, over the next several years.
Fantastic. Okay, well, that's the semi-serious stuff kind of done with, and we'll return to some of those questions with our next panel. But for those who have attended this before, we do have a little bit of a quiz, and I'm still trying to come up with another version of this, but I do think it's a little bit fun, and particularly as we are seeing so much new domicile activity and continued growth in the industry, I think it's kind of talking about and quizzing people on the numbers in our industry is actually quite interesting and hopefully a bit of fun. So this game is called Captive Domiciles Higher or Lower. In the past, we have kind of quizzed people on the number of active captives in domiciles. Can't remember which way around we did it last year, but this time we're going to do number of new captives formed in 2023. So I've got several domiciles here. I'm going to start them off with a domicile. They're going to consult amongst each other. Who is going to be your spokesperson? I'm going to have to take a final answer from you each time. Is Claire going to be?
We can both whisper in here.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll take it.
You'll be the spokesperson. So if you grab the microphone, if they get, so I'm going to give them a number, give them a domicile, give them how many captives were formed last year, and then give them another domicile, and they have to say if it's higher or lower than that number. If they get it right, then they have a correct score. If they get it wrong, and if you're taking too long, then we've got a little countdown for you as well. So you've got to get a streak, right? So it should start easier, and it should get harder. The maximum score is 5, and you keep going until you get one wrong, and then we'll see if the second team can beat it. So captive domiciles higher or lower. If you've got any questions throughout, ask me. Because
I'm curious, is the Sika website up to date?
Sika website has some stuff. Captive Intelligence website has some stuff, but do not, you know, no phones allowed. Put that phone away, TJ. Turn those magazines over. I think we have had some confusion in the past, so if you're not sure about anything, just ask. This is captives, not cells. Cells are not included, so it's captives.
Okay. Good.
Single parent captives, pure captives, group captives. So, first off, Bermuda. So, in 2023, 16 new captives were formed in Bermuda. Was the number of new captives formed in North Carolina last year higher or lower? So, 16 in Bermuda in 2023, 16. Was it a higher or lower number of new captives formed in North Carolina last year?
Lower.
You're saying lower?
Lower. The first time.
Wow. That's the worst ever.
Anyway.
And it definitely means this is going to be a lot shorter than originally planned.
Sorry, guys.
What I'm going to do, you did get 0. There's no getting away from that. But let's just carry on for a laugh.
Okay.
It will be.
Right? You guys.
It will be a laugh.
I think they got 0. That's definitely a fact. Okay. So, but let's pretend maybe you got that one right for now. We'll carry on. So North Carolina actually licensed 49 captives last year.
Oh my goodness.
A little bit out there. So 49, if you were to have won that one, we'll carry on. 49 in North Carolina in 2023. Was the number of new captives formed in Hawaii last year higher or lower than 49?
Lower.
There you go, consolation prize. Consolation. I should have said before, you can shout out and try to help them as well.
Oh.
It's a bit late.
All right.
It's a bit late now.
We should be winning by now, actually.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so 14 in Hawaii last year.
Oh my gosh.
Was the number of new captives formed in France higher or lower than 14? So was the number of new captives formed in France in 2023 higher or lower?
Lower.
Well, look at this, on a roll. I mean, it means nothing. It means completely nothing, but you're on a roll. So 6 were formed in France last year, which is very good for a new domicile in Europe, but was lower than Hawaii. So 6 in France. Was the number of new captives formed in Dubai last year higher or lower? Claire's looking at me like she hates me right now. So higher or lower than 6? How many was it higher or lower in Dubai? I told you it gets harder, but you got the easy one wrong.
Thanks, Richard.
we get that.
I'm going to go with lower.
Very good. They formed one in 2023. Yeah. If you had got four in a row, this next one would be pretty easy because Dubai was one, or is it? Was a number of new captives formed in Guernsey last year higher or lower than one?
Same.
Same isn't an option. I could have put a same in there.
Oh,
I didn't.
That would have been me. We're gonna go higher.
Yeah, of course. Yes. There were four new captives, pure captives formed in Guernsey in 2023. Okay, well, you did great. You got zero. You got zero plus four though. So if these guys get zero next time, we'll carry on and see if they can beat, that'll be your backup score. Right, so maybe it's relevant that you did get four. But in the meantime, we're gonna just do a little switch around. Please give this panel a round of applause. Okay, so thank you guys. We were meant to have some really fun music, and I don't know why that my button wasn't working for Sledgehammer, Jason Flaxbeard's favourite song. Sorry, Jason, I tried to cue it up, but I think Universal Media Group got involved again, denied me access, which is actually a true story. So our second panel, we have Stephen Bauman from AXA XL. We have Anjanette Fowler from PNC Institutional Asset Management, Matt Takamine from Brown & Brown, and we have the only person, actually Dan did make two appearances, as he said, on GCP Live, and this is Nick's second appearance on GCP Live, and of course, your Seeker chair.
Won the first one.
The first one. So you've won as well. Okay, so you're unbeaten. Let's start with Steve. Same questions as before, Steve. And I'm really hopeful on this that you're going to have something good, because I know you have good stories. And just wondering if the corporate side has got to you and stopped you from saying these good stories. But Steve, tell us something interesting or funny about you that people in this room may not know. And you know a lot of these people quite well, so this might be hard to...
No, I think it should be pretty easy. Are we live, or do you have the ability to bleep?
I have the ability to edit.
Hit the dump button.
Just checking. I don't know how far I'm going to go with the story, but let's get started. So many of you know, I came out of Colgate University in 1987, right into the captive industry, 37 years all in the captive industry, which I think is probably a record, but...
It's like my age.
Yeah, and so I was a Division I football player there. My majors were political science, economics, and when I came out, this company called American Risk Management was looking for people right out of the college, and that was the Fred Rice organization, and I had the pleasure of joining them in July of 87. What people probably don't know, and that was a great job. I was thrilled. I grew up a poor kid in New Jersey, and I was thrilled to have that job, making $23,000, which was all the money in the world. All the money in the world back then to me. And so, 2 months later, the opportunity came to me. I was working now, and I bought myself a nice new car and a nice sports car. And an opportunity came to me to. Go to the Jets and try out for the Jets in the National Football League. And I walked in and to the player acquisition person, and it was a big mahogany office, and he looked through a big book that had all information on all the college players, and he yells out to his assistant, draft up a contract for Bauman, we want him on the team. And I turned it down. It's not a funny story, it's regretful. So, I mean, if there's a teaching moment here, I'm all about next gen in the industry, but if there is any next gen that has just started or that will start, if you get an offer from a professional sport team, take it, and then when that ends, I will help you get a job back in the industry.
Steve, that's good. That is probably one of the best stories we have had. I knew you were a good football player. I didn't know it had gone that far.
It could be a very long story. So that's okay. The abbreviated version.
Maybe over at a bar.
At the bar, we can get more into it. And
yeah. And Jeanette, I'm going to come to you next. Which sports team did you turn down to join the captive insurance industry?
It was his opposition, but I think the more important thing is that you told me not to tell was that you asked Matt and I to shave our heads, so we had a match set up here, but we turned down that offer for sure.
It doesn't happen often that we outrank the people.
Yeah, so my story, I think, prior to having a child really is, I know people hear me talk about travel and adventure travel, but one of those adventures was, happened to be in Africa, whitewater rafting the White Nile, and having the opportunity at some point, our boat pulling over to the side and the river guide saying, okay, everybody has an option at this point in the trip to either get out of the boat or stay in, because I can guarantee you the next rapid we're going to go over, the boat is going to come up and flip over. And without hesitation, I was the only one that raised my hand to stay in the boat, which I did. And we went, and it unfolded exactly as he described it. And it was the most exhilarating experience. And thankfully, the people that were there to snatch us out of the rapids showed up, and I survived to live another day.
And you didn't compete for America in whitewater rafting or? And
no, turn that no, down. No, no. I had a child, and that, I had to hang up my hat on that one.
Fantastic. Cool. Exhilarating. Matthew.
I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm not going to necessarily talk about a story that's directly about me, but rather where I'm from, the state of Hawaii, where I was born and raised, where I have my captive insurance roots, so to speak. And I thought of this yesterday when Skip Myers was talking. He was graciously accepting his well-deserved honor from Sika's Distinguished Service Award. And he talked about how Vermont was, you know, the first onshore jurisdiction that embraced captives, and a lot of other jurisdictions soon copied Vermont. The state of Hawaii took that literally. It copied so well that the state of Vermont was actually enacted into our captive laws in 1986. So I just thought that this is probably the only group that could appreciate that story. So
cheers, Matthew. Nick, what you got for us this time? You live a pretty interesting life, so.
Well, I will tell you, this is not easy, right? He puts these out, lets us know what the questions are. And to sit and think about, okay, what was a funny story? I've got a lot of them. I just can't tell them in this room.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say something a little bit about me, and I think it goes well with kind of the messages that were put out this year at the conference, which was next generation. All three of my kids are in this business, in the captive business, so that's pretty cool. My youngest is a woman, and I can tell you that she has been lifted up in this organization through Amplify Women, and just all of the people she's, unfortunately she's not in the room tonight, she's on her way back to Chicago right now, but I just thought it was appropriate, and it's not funny, but I think it's pretty cool.
Cheers, Nick. You can keep up with the microphone, because the next question is, I'm going to start with you this time, and that question is, if you could change one thing about the captive industry or the captive market overnight with a click of a finger, there's probably lots of things we'd all want to change, but what would it be and why?
So I've been doing this for 30 years, right? And I get 30 years ago when we go in and talk about captives, whatever kind of captive it is, that people will be like, what? You're going to do that in Cayman or Bermuda or Vermont or something? Wait a second. Today, I don't get that response. I don't understand it, right? There is so much information. There is so much knowledge about captives. But if I could change one thing, it would be to open people's minds. And just so they would at least listen to the concept and be open to how it can work, why it works, rather than just being, no, it can't work, and and I don't want to really listen to what any of us have to say. Those people are going to get left behind. They are. They're getting left behind. Is this going to be on record forever?
Could be.
So I just appreciate all the folks in this room who believe. And I guess that's what I would. I wish I could just snap a button and everybody would understand what I think we all understand about this industry.
Great. Matt, if you could change one thing overnight about our industry, what would it be?
Right. Well, I think this is something that probably everybody in this room, or a lot of you, can probably relate to. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you have a hard time explaining exactly what it is you do to folks outside of the industry? Kind of like Nick's point. It's such a not well understood, sometimes misunderstood industry, right? And how many of you grew up thinking, you know, I aspire to be in captive insurance when I wanted to be like Dan.
Nick's children.
I always wanted to be.
But kind of like Claire's comment, I wish there was just, you know, more broad acknowledgement, more of a broad educational infrastructure for captives at the collegiate level. Perhaps, you know, it's a wonderful industry that we all know, and it should be one that folks study for and aspire to be part of.
Great, cheers, Matt. And Jeanette, same question. If you could change one thing about our industry overnight, what would it be?
Well, kind of expanding on your thoughts about some of the things that have unfolded specifically at this CICA conference, but over the last number of years with Amplify Women and NextGen, but NextGen in particular, if we could accelerate and broaden that talent getting up to speed. So I think all of us, I look around and I don't think anybody that I've talked to has ever been busier in their lives than they have now. And if we could have a magic wand. And well, that too certainly would, I think everybody's trying to figure out when they can take that time, but just having the talent pool, the knowledgeable talent pool that we could just plug in. CICA, I have to take our hats off to all of us out here are responsible for the young talent that's coming into the industry. But if we could accelerate that even faster, that would be my wish. But I think we're doing a good job, and CICA has been instrumental. I know Dan mentioned earlier. I fully believe that we are leading the insurance industry, not just the captive industry, on that front. So that's what I would change.
Fantastic, Steve Bauman.
Yeah, it's kind of a common theme. Claire mentioned about, you know, high schoolers knowing about captives, which would be really ambitious. I would go even a little less ambitious and say, you know, even if people in insurance for the last 10 or 15 or 20 years knew about captives, I would be thrilled.
So. Yeah, that's a very good point. And something with, I think as we get more jurisdictions and domiciles, I think that's starting to help, because it just localizes captives for a lot more people rather than thinking it's something that happens in a far away place. So last question before you see if you can beat zero on the quiz. Anjanette, what do you expect to be the big disruptor or innovation affecting captive insurance in the next 5 years?
Well, I'd like to think, and my actuarial partners at PNC hopefully will appreciate, although they didn't feed me this answer, I think it's gonna be data. Data is power, and I think the more data we have, and able to aggregate it in an efficient way to make decisions is something that we're already starting to see that. You see it in parametric and other ways, but we're starting to apply that as well. And that's, I think, gonna be a big innovative thing if we can harness it and manage it and use it to make good decisions.
Matt, same question to you.
No, I know a lot's been said already, and there's a wide variety of topics we can talk about, right? AI, if it's the impact of technology on our industry. We could talk about the proliferation of European domiciles and onshoring that's going on in Europe. But I think, you know, captives are a people business, and like Anjanette said, you know, everybody's probably busier than at any point they've been in the last 20 years, right? So it'd be, I think, our continued ability to attract and retain the best talent. CICA's done a great job with Amplify Women and our NextGen initiatives. Also, the student essay contest is fantastic. And I see, I'm not sure if Mitch is in the room, but they do a fantastic job with education for our industry. But I think it comes down to people.
Great, Steve?
Yeah, you know, I think captives are so worth it that I think everybody should have a captive, you know, like a health savings account, you know, I mean, and, you know, to have that little bank of funds there where everybody can kind of tap into their own and just be more self-resilient, I think that would be wonderful. And I see that. I think we're going to get there with it. It's going to be a long time, but I think we're going to get there.
On the question of everyone should have a captive, Steve, please tell me you've sold one to the Jets. At least.
Well, you know, the rest of the story is I don't talk to the Jets any longer, and I am a Giant fan. So that's why
you turned them down.
We can talk about that in the bar too.
Nick, you got the last go at this question. So yeah, biggest disruptor or innovation coming our way.
So this is a new. It's not a new thing. It's been around for a while, but I think this is the next really big thing in the captive industry, and that's medical stop loss. Okay, you know, I'm a casualty guy through and through. I couldn't spell medical stop loss, MSL, 3 or 4 years ago. But we see an unlimited field in front of us with medical stop loss. And let me give you some numbers. On the casualty side, we think there's 65,000 companies that would fit what we do. You know, in total, the whole industry might write 7,000 or 8,000 of those, right? In medical stop loss, we think there's 175,000 prospective clients, and in total, we might write 5,000 or 6,000, okay? That is an unlimited field. And I think it's not new, and we're late to the game, I'll admit it, but man, we are gonna get after it. So all my competitors out there, please don't take my advice.
Okay, cool. So this is the moment that I'm sure everyone's been waiting for, because yeah, the team before you set a really challenging score, really, really high bar of 0. So you just need to get one right. We will see if you can get the full streak. You just need to get one right to start with to see if, so it's the same rules as before, captive domiciles, higher or lower, and then we're gonna go down to the bar. So it's captives, it's standalone captives only, not cells, not individual cells. So the first domicile we've got here, in 2023, Arizona formed 17 new captives here in Arizona. Was the number of new captives formed in Vermont last year higher or lower? And who's the spokesperson here? Who are we going for?
My teammates and maybe a couple members in the audience, higher.
That was a pretty easy one. So that is
2-0.
These are the winners. Nick's unbeaten again. We'll carry on, see if we can get the full roster. So 38 new captives in Vermont last year. Was the number of new captives formed in Connecticut in 2023 higher or lower than 38?
Lower.
There we go. Yep, you're correct. That was 10 captives formed in Connecticut last year, so that was lower. So 10 captives in Connecticut. Was the number of new captives formed in Nevada last year higher or lower than 10? There are some people that know about Nevada, but they've got their heads down.
You guys can't. Nobody's come on, Renee, come on. We think
higher or lower than 10?
Higher. We're going to say higher.
Oh. Yeah, I'm afraid it was seven new captives in Nevada in 2020.
But we still won, right?
You still won, yeah, you got two. That was a very low scoring, that's our worst ever performance from anyone. Not you guys, the guys before were worse, but like in total, all around you, it was low. We'll just crack on, 7 in Nevada last year, number of new captives formed in Italy in 20, a new one on this show, Italy in 2023, was it higher or lower than 7?
Lower.
Yep. That was 2 in Italy, both redomestications. We'll see if there's any more to come this year. And then finally, was the number of new captives formed in Utah last year higher or lower than 2? 2 in Italy, Utah, was that higher or lower?
Higher.
Absolutely, it was 38. So we do have champions here. They got 2. Wow. You got two before you got one wrong. But you won. Cool. Well, that's pretty much us done. Please thank these guys here on the stage. And I'll just wrap up 5 minutes early, which I think is perfect because we're going to have to make our way down to the reception. I'll just wrap up saying thank you very much to Dan and Sika for having us. Thank you for letting us do GCP Live. We really appreciate it. We will release this episode. I don't think you need to listen to it again, but maybe friends and colleagues might want to hear it. We'll release it on our stream in the next few days. I'll have a chat with Steve in terms of how much he wants to keep in. But yeah, enjoy the rest of the conference, enjoy the reception, and have a safe journey home. Thank you very much. Cheers.
I was the outside linebacker.
Oh, cool. I was going to guess linebacker.